Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just thank the Lord to have another night to worship our Lord. Amen. You know, we got so much to be thankful for. As you see, my mom, who's been visiting some, she's not shy when it comes to the Lord. She's actually a very shy person, but when it comes to the Lord, she's not afraid to testify for what God has done. And we are a witness, you know, he's been that sole theme of our life. So we thank God for that. And we know he's got the power. And we've got it in his name.
Give me your hand. Let's agree together. Then all of our enemies will crumble at our feet. For whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. At the name of Jesus, Satan has to flee.
We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Us. Oh, but the bride of Jesus is still alive, like a mighty army. We keep marching onward, winning every battle. 'Cause the Lord's on our side. Oh yes, we've got the power in the name of Jesus. Oh, we've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we cannot be defeated. Oh, we've got the power in the name of the Lord. Give me your hand. Let's agree together that all of our will crumble at our feet. For whatever we bind on earth,
think about it,
shall be bound in heaven. At the name of Jesus, Satan has to flee. Oh, we've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Oh, though Satan rages, we cannot be defeated. 'Cause we've got the power in the name of the Lord. So many years now, Satan tried to stop us, but the bride of Jesus is still alive. Like a mighty army, we keep marching onward, winning every battle with the Lord by our side. Everybody, oh, we've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we cannot be defeated. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory. Amen. We're going to change over the service this evening. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you, I want to see you, to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing.
To the Lord. Good to have a midweek service we can get to, even with the gas shortage. I don't think my tank's moved. I think mine, y'all just keep praying that the Lord will just fill your tank up with gas. You made an effort to be here tonight, you'll be all right. Amen? God likes people to have a little effort, put a little effort in it. And Brother Brown said one time, try his face. Try his faith. Talk to him sometimes. Say, Lord, I need some gas in my vehicle. Brother, who was it, brother? Yes, you're right, you did. And so did Brother Harris did one time, remember, on the side of the interstate. And he said, Lord, I ain't got no money and I don't have a way to get it. And he said, he got in that car and fired up and drove it home on empty. So, amen. God knew what we need for the foundation of the world. He just wanted you to ask for it. You got a little something to do yourself. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see Sister Lois back there with us tonight. You knew I was going to say that, didn't you? It's good to see her smiling face. I miss her family. Pray for her mom and dad all the time there. So good to see y'all. Also, remember that June the 16th through the 18th, we're having our Father's Day fishing trip. We're... Brother Ronnie Long and Brother Chris Long will be with us. Also, the sisters will be going to Pigeon Forge, so we need to start getting that together. It's getting about a month away, so, boy, time's flying. Also, July the 3rd and 4th, we're having our annual meeting. Well, it won't be annual. It'll be our first 50th anniversary meeting, 3rd and 4th. Brother Jewel Forney, he is excited to be there. He called me Sunday morning, and he's ready to go.
Amen.
So good. And Brother Mike Olteague will be with us that Sunday. And just keep those in your prayers. Good to see the young folks up here. Now, that's a good idea. Whoever come up with that idea needs to... Bella said she came up with that idea. She's the shy... No, she's not shy. But, yes, that's good. A lot of churches you go to, the kids are made to set up on the front two rows. So I appreciate y'all doing it on your own. And you'll get more if you sit up there. Amen? Amen? A little bit of a generational change. I was telling them before service, usually the older folks were sitting right there in that little spot, and that generation is moving on, and a new generation's coming in. So that's the way God works. He doesn't leave a generation out. Amen? Amen? He doesn't skip a generation. God never skips a generation. I'll remember, too, that Brother Dutch said to tell you hello, and God bless you. And we had a good time this weekend on Mother's Day with them, and something I hadn't seen in a long time, and I want to say this for the glory of the Lord. But a lot of times we think, well, maybe during the song service we need to, you know, be, you know, getting it ready and getting everything ready to go, and maybe the Spirit's going to fall and maybe somebody will shout. And but the Bible tells me that the preaching of the word is what always brought the Shekinah glory down. It wasn't the singing. Now, the singing was to set the tone. We know that. But we were preaching just on justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost of Brother Dutch's, and the Spirit of the Lord fell in the middle of that service. And I was at the end of the, down at the aisle preaching away, but I mean, man, that was one sister got to shouting, and then another couple of sisters got to crying and praising the Lord. And you know what? It was just a wonderful service. And leading into that, we're going to, Brother Bob, you're going to have to change send another one out here. We're developing this plan. We're not like God. He has an eternal plan, never changes. Ours is not eternal, and it does change. So if you pull it up on the screen here, this is what we're going to be doing starting Sunday up here. It's been changed just a little bit. Y'all did great Sunday, so we'll leave everything where it's at if you're downstairs. So, but upstairs, 9:30 to 9:45, you're going to have Brother Brown pre-service. That's, we do that anyway, all right? Now, from 9:45 to 10:15, Brother Terrence is going to have to take prayer requests, and then I'm going to come up and teach Sunday school for about 20 or so minutes. And I was praying on the way up to Illinois Sunday, and the Lord just kind of spoke to me and said, just don't take a subject, take a one word. And me and Sister June got to talking about one word, prayer. Then we'll take another word, redemption. Then we'll take another word, grace. And then we'll take another word, something else, and we'll talk about it. But Brother Brown was talking about prayer. But the Bible tells us, as was talking about Brother Dutch, is the Bible tells us many, many times in the book of Acts that as the preaching was going on, the Holy Ghost would fall on the people, fill them with the Holy Ghost, and they would be, you know, they'd have a good service. So that's kind of what we want to look at that. But we'll have prayer requests, adult Sunday school class from 9:45 to 10:15. All right? That will be up here. You downstairs, this has nothing to do with you. Okay? You're doing what you normally do. Then from 10:15, what I'll do is I'll tell the musicians to start coming up when I wind it down. And then Brother Joe will take his service of songs, taking up the tithes and offerings, and have responsive reading to 10:40. And then Brother Dale will be in the pulpit or whoever's preaching that Sunday. So everybody got that? Just a little bit of shift. We were gonna do it in two parts. This is the Sunday school format. It stays the same. So this just basically tells you who's going, what the classes are. Sister Monica will be gone this coming Sunday, right? Sister Lisa, can you swap over and do hers? Thank you, ma'am. But the rest of them will be the same, and then the adult Sunday school class will be up here from 9:45 to 10:15. So it's just changed a little bit from what you all got, and I appreciate Brother Bob and Brother Joe sending those out. but we had discussed it. Actually, Brother Aaron came up with this idea, and Dad and I discussed it and thought that maybe this would give more continuity to the service instead of having songs and doing stuff here and then stopping and having Sunday school and then starting it all over again, to just go ahead and do first Sunday school and then get into the song service. We don't want to take away from the song service, but we don't want to take away from the Word. Amen. Because the Word's the most important thing, but you do need the song service. There has to be a balance. So that's what we're going to be doing starting this coming Sunday. Amen. Also remember that Brother Aaron will be preaching next. He's not here. Next Wednesday night. So I think that's about got it. So let's bow our heads. We're going to continue on eternal redemption. We're going to bring out a little thought tonight. We're talking about generations. But there's a man that came on earth that was cut off from his generation. Amen. And we'll read that in Isaiah once we get the background done. And we'll try to hurry through this on Wednesday night. So let's bow our heads. To Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd be with us tonight. Sanctify us, Lord. You know what we want to speak to the people. But Father, if it's not according to what you want, Lord, just erase it and you do the speaking, Father. Be with the ones, Lord, that are sick and not here. Be with the ones on the highways. Lord, just let this gas shortage be done and over with. And even if it is, Lord, you said you'd take care of your little bride, Lord, so we'll be able to find gas when maybe other people will not. And Lord, we depend on you. That's what you're asking us to, is to depend on you. Not to depend on man or depend on some kind of computer program, but depend on you, Lord. Because we're the bride, and you said you'd take care of us, Lord. Father, forgive us of our sins, bless us, and take care of us in this service. May we be attentive and listen to you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hebrews 9:11. But Christ being come in high priest of good things to come by a greater, more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Now that's, we're going to talk about Christ here in just a little bit, because he's the center of this whole plan. All right. He's the center person of this whole plan. And he really comes right in the center of the plan. Amen. So he comes in to where he can take the Old Testament and bring them in and then what? Become the mediator, the Bible says. But he's the New Testator that we are living under now, which is the New Testament, not doing away with the Old Testament, but just bringing it to the New Testament. And we'll touch on that just in a little bit out of Isaiah. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Let's read 1 John 4:16. I still hadn't gotten away, and we really had a good time. We kind of weaved in a little bit of this eternal redemption in the service. We were speaking on who is worthy, how that we come from where we're not worthy in Revelations 5 about verse 1 and 2 to where Revelations 10 we're kings and priests. So somewhere we became worthy. Amen. That's the same thing with this eternal redemption. There wasn't a time in the mind of God that we weren't worthy. You hear what I said? In the mind of God, the eternal part, the Genesis 1:26, always was eternal. That Genesis 1:26 never had a bad day, never was lost, but we got lost. And then that Genesis 1:26, Brother Brown said, you heard from your theophany. You heard from that Genesis 1:26 man, and then you connected to that Genesis 1:26 man, and that made you worthy. Because if he's worthy, you're worthy. As we were speaking before, heirs and joint heirs with Christ. And then John, first there in the book of John, where Jesus says, Lord, I pray that we be one as me and you are one. I pray that us and the people on the earth be one, or his children be one. And we are one. But he had to pray the prayer of intercession. It's what we're going to get into Sunday. There's an interceding there by prayer that we have to have. But remember one thing. Let me throw you a little thought. Prayer's not eternal. We won't pray when we get to the new city. There'll be nothing to pray for. When we take a glorified body, there's nothing for us to pray for. It's done. It's finished. But it's put there, though, for a temporary, because remember in the Bible, I'm going to start on Sunday service. In the Bible, though, Adam spoke to God lip to ear, face to face, right? But then the Bible tells us that when Seth was born, then man began to call on the name of the Lord. That's when prayer comes and being instituted, all right? So just keep that in your mind for this weekend. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. See, our love is not perfect, our filial love, but we're if you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you have agape love. Amen? Which is perfect. Because he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. We couldn't be lovable. We wouldn't know how to love without him being inside of us, showing us how to love. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now let's go ahead and continue with Ephesians 1 and get these scriptures read. Not to get them out of the way, but to make sure that we've got our background. In Ephesians 4 says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. This whole plan hinged on that it was over before it got started. It was over before it got started in the mind of God. But in order for it to be a plan, something had to happen. For it to be a plan, it's like Brother Brown said, he said, now, that's why you see that we've harped so much on foreknowledge and on predestination, because if it was just, you know, signed, sealed, and delivered, why would we need to fall? Why didn't he just bring us here the way we are? No, he had attributes that he had to display. There was a part of God that was not known, and that was a Savior. So in order for someone to have a Savior, as Brother Weiss read that quote several weeks ago, he had to become flesh to save us or to redeem us, because the blood of bulls and goats we know can't take away sin. It only covered sin. But we know that he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Look, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's what I was trying to get the people over there to see, that you know what? The devil's going to beat you. We know that. The devil, that's his job. He's never going to, listen, he's never going to not be around you. He's not going to take a vacation. But as long as he's here, I like what Brother Schrader said many years ago. He said, all right, devil, if you're going to play around in my mind and you're going to look through my eyes, we're going to read the Bible. Amen? Amen? We're going to read the Bible. That's the best way to get rid of the devil. Start reading the Bible. Start praying. Start reading the message of the hour. He hates this Bible. He hates this Word of God. Because he says, look, he sees this. He says, holy and without blame. Before him in love. Why they do this and they do that and they have these bad thoughts and they have this and they have that and they have this. That's all he is accuser of the brethren. But what is he accusing you for? Nothing that God sees. That's why I want you to see we have been made worthy by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and not more worthy as we go up the statue of perfect man, but it is more of God being closer to us than he's ever been close to anybody before. You say, even Paul, I'm just saying. I believe Paul was up that pyramid because he had a lot of things, but now he never had the body change that you and I are looking to. If we're looking at the body change, then we're looking at something that no one, even Jesus, didn't have a body change without death. So see, we're looking at this, but we're never going to get anywhere if we can't believe what he's already said, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. All right? Having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, I was telling them over there, I said, look, first thing you got to do is know that you're a child of God. You got to get in the family first. That's our problem, not ours, but a lot of people's problem. They say, well, I'm in the message, and I think I'm, you know, it's kind of like the cousin you had never met before comes to church, you know, and then they just start showing up a little more and a little more. Well, you know, you need to be in the family. You need to be sons and daughters of God heading toward adoption. Whether you're there or not, that's okay, but heading toward it. God is in motion. Like some of y'all are not. If this don't excite you, I don't know what's going to make you happy. Having predestinated us into the adoption of children. So listen, he's going to have a bride. He is going to have a family. Listen, Genesis 1:26 proved that he's going to have a family. Now, and then there's a plan that's woven into that to know that we were, he knew we were going to fall. And he knew that he was going to redeem us back to that place. Not another place. Brother Brown said redemption is not replacement, but if you drop this on the ground, and it was right here, and you drop it on the ground and you put it over here, that's not replacement. That's just putting it in another place. You got to bring it back to where he said, let us create man in our own image. That's what we got to see. See, everybody else, you know, you may be redeemed, but you may be over here somewhere. We got to get redeemed back to where we started from. Amen? I agree with the message of the hour. You always was eternal. But there was a time you were not. Or this plan doesn't work. In order for this plan to work, somebody had to be lost. Somebody had to fall. Look in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Why did he come and do all he did with it? And then we just don't need it because we always was. No, we needed that man. Amen. We needed that God to become flesh, to create a blood cell, as we're going to read here in just a minute. He made his own blood cell to make sure that the plan was going to work. Amen. He was the plan. Amen. But you and I are the ones that are connected to it. Amen? But now remember, though, as we were talking about Sunday, remember at the quote I read you where Brother Bram said, now Jesus didn't come down here to bring you your inheritance. Right. Does everybody understand what Brother Bram's saying? Because what's happening is he goes on in the quote, because I've met people that said that Jesus, that God, of course they were Trinitarians, God sent Jesus to earth to see if somebody feels sorry for him. And he died for them because they're going to feel sorry for him. Well, now, Brother Brown said, I wouldn't run my business like that, and God don't run his business like that. He came down here to get who he'd already sworn you, but he had to come down here because the Bible says he was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, and he was slain for the whole world. But there's only a group of people in John 17. That's why I like John 17. That's our prayer because he's praying for his kids. He's not praying for the devil's kids. He's not praying for the world. That's what he said. He said, I'm not praying for the world. He said, I'm praying for the ones that are in the world. Amen? Because we're in this world. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Look, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Talk to people outside. They're the most confused people in the world. I mean, from Christians all the way down to sinners. This whole world's got them confused. Come out of a COVID-19 and survive that, and now you can't get out of the house because you can't drive your car. You ain't got no gas. The devil's like a pinball. He's bouncing us all around everywhere. I don't like being a pinball. Amen? Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Well, listen, when we're going to start realizing that we're not becoming worthy, we're already worthy if you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And like I said before, use what you already got. And if you don't got it, get it. That's pretty simple. If you don't got it, get it. And once you get it, I was reading a quote just a few minutes ago. Brother Bram said, the reason your prayer life's off, the reason all these things are off in your life, he said, get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said, it'll change your life. I was listening to y'all Sunday, and Brother Dale and Brother Bob, wonderful job always. But I heard all the clapping. Well, I guess y'all don't want to say amen loud enough and shout and praise the Lord, so you just let your hands be happy. And that's okay. As long as you make some kind of noise, it keeps some of you awake. Yes. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according, look, to the riches of his grace, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Let's go down to verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, I want you to really get this before we go into further. This is for you and you only. When Brother Branham stood there in 1963 and preaching the seals, he said, this is for my people only. He was not just saying the people that were sitting in that congregation. Because he had just told them before, about a year later, or a year before in the seals, that it's not even for you. But they got a blanket, let me put it this way, they got a grace of marriage and divorce for the people that were there. We understand that, but it's not for the whole world. He said, these are to my followers only. Well, this message is to the followers of Brother Branham alone. It's not to anybody else. They can't understand us. They, and I was talking to somebody the other day. What was it I was talking to? But anyway, we were talking about something. I said, you know, they can accept a prophet that they call a prophet, the world calls a prophet, John Hagee and all the different ones, and I'm going to call names because they can be Christian people, nominal Christian people. Benny Hinn, all these different ones, they revere him, and they listen to his tapes, and they watch his sermons, and they read his literature. But when you say God sent us a prophet, William Brown, they don't... You know why? Because he's not like those other ones. He's out of the norm. All these others, like Joel Osteen, doesn't preach on sin. No wonder he's got 15,000 people. If you quit preaching on sin, everybody's going to come to church. But they listen to him and they revere him and they put his name up on, you know, on a pedestal. But when we talk about God sending us a word prophet right out of the Bible, right out of the Bible, they go, no, he just wasn't. He might have been okay, but he got wrong. And you know why? Because his doctrine was different. All them other doctrines are pretty much, you can put them all in a soup bowl and put them in a box. It kind of reminds me, remember when Elisha met those sons of the prophets? They had went out and collected some what? Wild gourds. Some wild doctrines. And they come back in and said, man, this is it. This is, let's eat this right here. Let's eat this word because it's going to, and Elisha walks in and goes, if you eat that, it's going to kill you. So we had an Elijah in this day to come and he throwed some meal into the pot. What? My pot and your pot to get us out of those denominational ideas so that we can live and that pot will sustain us and not kill us. Because we were dying out there in the world. We were dying out there in the denominations. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. Well, it doesn't sound like we just got something. We inherited. We have obtained. You gotta go get it. You had to eat. John said, give me the book. Give me the book, angel. You can't have it. Gotta give it to me. Right. Amen. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him that worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Let's read quote number one. Tell me, my brother. Tell me, my sister. When was the time that the sons of God was ever to be manifested outside of this time now? When was there ever was a time in history that the manifest the time to deliver all nature? Right. Nature, the nature itself is groaning, waiting for the time of manifestation. Why, before the atonement was made, before the Holy Ghost was ever poured out, before all the Old Testament. You see right there, Brother Brown tells us there wasn't any Holy Ghost poured out in the Old Testament. And no new birth. Now the Holy Ghost was anointing the people, but they had no new birth. Right. On down there couldn't have been manifestation. It had to wait till this time. Now all things. Now look, you think, Brother Branham, have you not ever read Exodus? Talk about manifestation. God took a nation bigger than the United States and drove them to their knees with manifestation of the power of God. He's not talking about that kind of manifestation. He's talking about manifestation of the Word of God. In a group of people, not just anointing, because look, he brings in this little word. It had to wait till this time. Now all things has been brought coming, shaping up to a headstone. There's your body change. The rest of them didn't have that. To the manifestation of sons in God coming back and the Spirit of God coming into these men, not one man, these men so perfectly until their ministry will be so close like Christ till it'll join him and his church together. Amen. Wow. It'll join what? Back to that Genesis 1:26 man where Adam and Eve were literally one person. And God and Adam was one person. God and Adam and Eve was one person. And that's what he was praying in John 17, that they, the bride, be one as you and I, Father, are one. Now, how many is that? There's only one God. And the manifestation of God in the end time is the bride. So we're totally a part of this plan outside of everything else. Just like I said before, this is just to the bride. We're the only ones. Now, Brother Brown said we're the only ones that will have perfect love. We're the only ones that we have His potential, right? And we will do His will. We will do what the Bible says. We will do what, and I don't say we'll do what the message says, because that's killed a lot of people doing just what the message says. Let's do what the Word of God says. It will direct us to the message. Amen? If we'll get that right to start with, we'll get born again, get the people to Christ, get, make sure you're justified, make sure you're sanctified, make sure you're filled with the Holy Ghost, not just have an anointing of this message. Because an anointing of this message is just going to kill you. Look at these people that's been preaching. We were talking about this Sunday. 30 or 40 years people have been preaching with a true anointing. Because they preach truth. Some of them preach good truth. But somewhere, they didn't go all the way. That anointing is going to have to lift off of them eventually. But listen, with me and you, as the bride of Jesus Christ, that anointing never lifts off of us. That's what's going to change our body. That's what's going to take us in a rapture, is that anointing that is on us, which is the headstone anointing that no one else has got. Jesus was the headstone. We are the anointing of the headstone, which makes us still one. It's real simple. We talk about headstone, we talk about these different things, you know. Maybe some of the young people don't understand, but when you have a headstone, some people think about headstones and having a grave on the grave. But there's a headstone that, and they call it the keystone or the headstone, that the ark goes up, and there's a stone that sits right up in the middle of that. Right. Amen. Everybody got that? Amen. And it's usually like a pyramid. Some of them upside down, but anyway, the door is held up basically by that, they call it the keystone. If you pull that thing out, it collapses. Right. Yeah. Well, see, you and I, we know one thing's for sure. Paul and Irenaeus and all them, they are part of that. But the key to get them out of the ground, it's me and you. The plan that we're talking about here, that there is a generation that was cut off during the church ages and all, and not belittle no one, folks, we listen. But they without us can't be made perfect. Whatever they got, they're waiting on the last piece. Or they're waiting on the headstone. We had a prophet come and bring us that headstone message, the seven seals, that told us all these things. We couldn't, listen, how in the world can you, we preach what we preach and not know, have a background of the message of the hour? You're just presuming. You're just out talking. Because who are you going to take, Clarence Larkin? Who are you going to take? You're going to take John Hagee? He's pretty good. John McCarthy, he's a pretty good guy. I like to listen to him. I admit it. He's got some good points. But he's not the one I listen to get what I listen to with the message. Amen? Because they do have some good points. Clarence Larkin must have had some pretty good points because Brother Brown used some of his points. He used some of Schofield's points. But see, there's a piece missing in their message. The piece of Schofield that's missing in the message was he's a Trinitarian. So that knocked him out of any of the headstone message. Everybody got that? That knocked John Hagee and all the different ones. They're all Trinitarians. So they have a, Brother Ram, they have a loose end. Or they have a flaw. That can't get them connected like you and I are connected. Because Jesus was the connection. And I just read you a quote where Brother Ram said, these men so perfect till their message will be so close like Christ till it'll join him and his church together. And that was the opening of the seals. But now see, but then when once the seals were open, you got 14 different versions of what the seventh seal is. Yeah. Polygamy, we're already in the millennium. Do whatever you want to because we're, you know, it doesn't matter what this guy does. Oh, come on, people. It don't matter what this thing does, but you're going to show what's inside of there that's making that thing do what it's doing. Amen? That's what we're looking at. It's the inside guy that makes the outside guy work. Look at number two. How can I take a cuckoo burr and make a grain of wheat out of it? It's impossible for me to do it. The only way is because inside that kookaburra has been transmitted from a kookaburra to a germ called wheat life. Then you bury that kookaburra and it'll produce a grain of wheat. That's right, because there has been a life of wheat put in that kookaburra. I want us to get that down. You have to have eternal life given to you down here in these first three dimensions before you get born again. You can't get born again without your soul being burnt out, that new nature put in, burn your nature out, and then the Bible tells us that we're a new creation. We're a new creature. Brother Brown uses the word vulcanized. Are you vulcanized? You can't be wood and rubber and vulcanize. So what vulcanizes? You say, well, I'm just a sinner. Yeah, but before the foundation of the world, God cut a piece of that tire off. And he preserved that piece of that tire. You came down here with a hole in it. And all you went was... And you were flat. You loved the world and the things of the world, but God had that patch ready for you. So he could bring it down to you. And guess what? Fire puts them two together. And then you cannot separate them because you take rubber. You take Genesis 1:26. You take the theophany of God and you put him in yours and you seal it together. Right. And God, listen, God can't even pull it apart. Oh, that's what makes me happy. God can't even pull it apart. Much less the stinky old devil. He heard me say that. But we live in these first three dimensions. We have to. Because Jesus even tells us in John 17, I don't have it there, just I'm going to try to quote it. He says, in other words, I don't want to take them out of this world. That would be too easy. He said, but I'm going to pray for them that they'll stay in this world, but in other words, be preserved. Because you know what? Jesus was Almighty God. He was walking around in a pretty sinful place. Amen. So that's the same way with me and you. We're walking around in a sinful place and we're God Almighty in human flesh. Hello? We're God Almighty in human flesh. Not going to be. We are. We've just got to realize. Wake that thing up. Listen, there's a butterfly in there somewhere. But you got to die, caterpillar. You got to die, caterpillar, and then you got to do what? Faith, virtue, knowledge. Oh, let's get, wait a minute, pace, temper. Come on, help me. Temperance, patience, godliness. But you know what? When that butterfly works its way out, my little bees, they told us a long time ago, they said, do not help those bees. And you know what? You're not supposed to help a chicken or anything come out of its shell. You're supposed to let it peck its way out. The bees are stronger and live longer when they peck themselves or eat their way out of their cocoon or their cell or shell. Same way with anything. That's the same way with me and you. We got to have trials. We got to have tribulations. We got to have things in this life, like time and matter, that's not going to matter when we get done with this thing. Amen? It's the devil, it's just going to all be burnt up. Amen? But we have to live here to what? For a testimony. It's part of the plan. And then he gave us the fourth dimension of science and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The fifth dimension, we know where that is. That's hell. But it's not burning, remember. It's not a burning place. It is a place of judgment, waiting judgment. Thank God we don't have to do that. Amen. Have you ever really just sat down and thought about and you read in Revelations what's going to happen? That men and women are going to literally cry for the rocks to fall on them to die and they can't. And that birds will eat your flesh while you're still alive. Right. I'm not trying to scare you into be a Christian. I'm just telling you what's up, what you're going to be up against if you don't make this thing. Right. And I'm not telling you a fable. It's in the Bible. Right. Right. Amen? It's in the Bible. Amen. That's what's going to happen after we leave, after the grace of God is gone from this place. And what is the grace of God? We're going to get into that. The bride is the grace of God. Millions of people are going to get eternal life just because you walked in front of them. Right. Just because you were what? Part of their economy. Right. And they were good to you. They're going to get eternal life just because of that. Right. Besides all the other. Besides all the spiritual birth that Brother Dale's give us all. Yeah, you got to have a pastor, didn't it? Did somebody preach on that Sunday, I think? Somewhere. We got to have a pastor. And he's the one that'll lead us through. Amen? I was talking to the guy last night when we came back from Illinois. He's trying to be a nominal Christian, the guy that we live in his man cave, and we hunt up there. Brett, just remember in your prayer, he's having a battle. But he's trying to be good. He's like kind of like Jen's dad. He's trying to good his way into heaven. You can't do that. You can't do that. The rich young ruler. Rich. Rich young ruler. He didn't make it. But now look, I told Brad, I said, look, you can be a good Samaritan, that's fine. But I said, if you're a Christian, you're a sheep. And sheep is a herd animal. And listen, what happens when the sheep gets away from the herd? That's the first one that the wolves, we've seen it many times. You watch those National Geographic, the slowest one, the sickly one, and the one they can cut out from the herd becomes food for the nation, for the coyotes or the jackals or whatever you want to. That's the same way with God. With God, you stay in the herd, but you get out away from the herd, the devil's the first one that's going to pick you up. Listen, we need to be together. We're herd animals. We're sheep. We have to have a what? A shepherd. Sure, you say, well, I've got God. I can stay home. Now, that's not what the Bible said. You got to go back to the plan. The plan says we need a five-fold ministry and a pastor to lead us or a shepherd to take that hook every once in a while and pull us back in. Amen. But he does it by this next thing. He does it by what? Perfect love. We talked about paradise. We know what happened there, but perfect love. Brother Brown, he went across the curtain of time. This is perfect love. That's God love, God's love. Isn't that what you spoke the Holy Ghost was? I said, yes, this is perfect love. Let's go to number four. Now watch. The first is perfect love. That's God love, pure and unadulterated. The next comes in there is filial love. See, God give us filial love. To be in the first three dimensions and be able to live and love and have a family, love your wife, love your kids, love your most of your in-laws and most of your relatives. No, the Bible says we need to love the ones that hate us, okay? Okay. I'm going to read it Sunday. It says, pray for those who despise you. Wow. Despise you. The first is perfect love. That's God love, pure and adulterated. The next comes in there is filial love. That's love that you have for your wife and your children. The next drop after that is lustful love. The next is ungodly love and just goes on down till it's filth. Just keeps on perverting. Now remember, but we go back the other way, and if you have agape love, you can't have agape love without not having the new birth. But now watch. Let's go to number six. Go through here real quick. From that time in Oregon, Brother Brown said, look, I'll say this with the faith that I have in that vision. Now he's talking about going across the curtain of time. Whatever it was, I'll speak in the name of the Lord. Except you have that perfect love, you'll never be there because nothing could ever be there without it. Your spirit would be out of place there. And that's what I tell you happens in a church service. You don't need to have discernment. Just start preaching the word of God. And you'll watch people squirm and then they'll do this and then they'll try to go outside and they'll try to get away from it. Why? There's an anointing there that's going out and it's beating up against that what? That other spirit that's here. Amen? Amen? But at what spirit wins? The one you let win. The one you let win is the one that wins. What did Chief say? Now in me, black dog, white dog. That's even being after being a Christian. You're still sitting there and you're fighting white dog, black dog. Black dog sleep, white dog wake. Amen. Anyway, let's go to number eight. It's that anointed with the real spirit. See, that Holy Spirit can fall upon a man in his spirit, but his soul is his germ. That germ is the word, see, and how, I don't care how much you can preach, how well you do this, and how much you love, that's one of the inlets to spirit. You can't love with your body. You love with your spirit. That's one of the inlets, and you can love and even love God and still not be. Listen, you can't love God with agape love without having that agape love already inside you. I'm not going to say that again. I may not be able to say it. But without agape love, it's just filial love. And there's a lot of people sit in this message and love God in their spirit. It's showing. Look, but the Bible tells us, even we talk about what? We want the manifestation of the sons of God. We want the manifestation of the Word. Well, comes the manifestation of the Word and the manifestation of the sons of God is going to push the other ones out. Because they're going to be manifested also. Whatever spirit they have, whatever spirit we have, is going to manifest itself. Because listen, you're not going to carry an evil spirit to that next dimension that we're going to, the sixth dimension, if you pass away, or even if they come here in this dimension, and we go back to that dimension with a body change. Like I said before, your spirit's got to be familiar. Do we walk in church and do we pray and do we read our Bible because our spirit is familiar with that act? Or is it uncomfortable for us to read our Bible and to study the Word of God? Is it uncomfortable for us to come to church? Am I talking to somebody? Is it uncomfortable for us to come to church? It should be the most comfortable place. Listen, this should be a place to where when that priest walked into that Holy of Holies and that, I can hear it. I can hear that curtain go whoosh, and he's standing in a place with nobody but him and God. Amen. Nobody but him and God. He's standing there on the foundation that everything God had told him to do, that he did it. Because if one thing was wrong, he wasn't in there very long. They had to drag him out and send another one in. But there you're in the Shekinah glory. Well, now what about now, folks? That Shekinah glory is not, you don't have to go into it. If you're born again, you're already in it. You're just living in the Shekinah glory. You're living in the curtain falling behind you. And it's you and God alone. Let's read number 9 real quick. I shortened this one down. Perfect faith. Brother Bram said, real, genuine love will create a confidence in his word. Amen. See, now we say, well, now that was, I hope John Hagee doesn't hear me because he's a pretty nice guy. But if John Hagee was to say this, they'd print it in the book. They'd put it all over the country and in the Voice of the Martyr or somewhere. Boy, John Hagee said, real, genuine love will create a confidence in his word. But if you say William Branham said that, I say, oh, okay. To me, that just sums everything up. Right. Real, genuine, what? Agape love will create a confidence in his word. Listen, folks, that's the only thing that's going to get us out of here. Right. It's the confidence in what's already been wrote. I think the problem is we're waiting for something new to happen. We're waiting for some new book or some new tape or some new book of Maccabees is going to be authenticated by the prophet. Well, no, the prophet's gone. He authenticated the Bible. Right. 66 books of the Bible. We ain't got to hunt no other book nowhere else. Glory. Let's read number 10. Position of a believer in Christ. Under the law, under the shadow, they entered in under the shedding of blood of goats and bulls, which we went through, which could not take away sin. I wish people could believe that and see that the new birth, there was no new birth in the Old Testament to save those people because it was a life of an animal. Right. How can that little lamb's life, listen, if that little lamb's life come back in you, guess what you do? You go outside and eat grass and walk on all fours. Right. Amen? Because you're going to be the life that's inside of you. Right. That's why we act like the devil, because he's inside of us. That's why we act like Christ, because he's inside of us. Amen. So the blood of bulls and goats couldn't make us act like that. That's just pretty simple to me. It was the life of an animal. How could the life and spirit of a dead animal coming out of the blood of life, the cell of life, breaking forth the blood that was shed, ever that life ever return back into an animal or a man? The life of a lamb, a heifer, a goat, or an animal that's been sacrificed, that's our problem. We get a spirit of a goat. But that's been sacrificed after the blood has been broken for our sins. Look, that's why it never returns back in having anything to do with a human being. It could not. But God, before the foundation of the world, foreordained that Jesus would come, the perfect Lamb of God, into a perfect cell that God himself created. Amen. To bring blood into the world to offer that blood. He brought his own blood. Listen, he saw this plan to the end. And he acted it out because he's the one that wrote it. He's the one that saw it. So let's put our confidence in that. He keeps on going. If you turn him down in this hour, I don't want to get into that. Please don't turn him down. But look, the very nature of God is in you. You're still subject to mistakes. But God can't see it because it's covered by his blood. And when it's covered by his blood, it's not just covered, it's eradicated. Amen. Because it's covered by the blood. God can't see through the blood. Every time he looks through the blood, it looks white. He looks through the blood, it looks white. So now, let's talk just a minute about, let's pull the chart up just a second. If you will, brothers. Ta-da. Because here, Jesus Christ, thank you, there you go. That's for the older people. The bigger font's for the older ones. Just the Lord, don't laugh. It'll happen. What? Can you see that? You can't see it? Honey, we got some. Yeah, somebody got so hand her something. Don't we have some of these back here somewhere? Oh, here we go. You want one? Huh? No? Well, forget it then. So anyway, now you can see it. Now look, they're making it bigger. But look, we come here and we know that this is life, light, and matter. But I want to show you something here. Here's Jesus Christ. Like I said, he's the center of this whole plan. Because this same man that we're going to talk about in just a minute in Isaiah, this same man was standing back here creating. So he can't get it wrong. There's no miscommunication. Our problem is we have miscommunication. If I told Brother Dale something, by the time he got back over here to Brother Zach, it'd be zero what I said. Because we're humans, we hear sometimes what we want to hear. And so does God. But he has to go by what the Word says. Because he wrote it. So this same man that we're going to talk about that was, and I tried to pull up a few scriptures, but I mean, my heavens, if 400 scriptures were fulfilled just at the crucifixion, how many other hundreds spoke of him coming? Amen? Of him getting here. And the birth of Jesus and the birth of this Messiah and the birth of this Savior. And then we're going to see in a few more weeks that 99% of the world didn't believe he was who he was. Right. So here you weigh down to like 1%. Really believe that was Jesus Christ. Now it got better as it went on down through the church ages, but back this way, right here from the birth of Jesus to the death of Jesus, they didn't nobody believe who he was. He had 12, and one of them was the devil. Now, surely he had 120 in the upper room, but that was after he come back and went into the people. How can you deny something when he's inside of you? You can't deny it. Hey, I didn't deny I had the devil inside of me. You know why? Because I manifested exactly what he wanted me to manifest. But now you see the creation and you see the seventh dimension, which is eternity. That seventh dimension is up here. But when man fell, we came down here into time. And so time is going to run all the way. We're going to talk about it later, but not now. Then you come down and raise this up just here. Thank you. We see that now that death came, Abel was the first person to die, and he was put into paradise. Everybody with me? Blood of animals covered sin, did not eradicate it. The two tables of stone were put in the ark, and that's what Brother Brown said they died believing that the Messiah was coming or that Jehovah was coming, but they didn't see it, but they were believing. I got many scriptures in there that I was looking at today. All those prophets, when they all came, they prayed. They prayed. Moses prayed for the people. Elijah, Elisha, Nehemiah, Jeremiah, all the different major prophets in the Old Testament, they prayed for the people. But what did they do when they prayed for the people? The people killed them. Yeah. Right. Isaiah was a boy, and they tore him completely asunder, cut his legs off, his arms off, and everything, because he was a prophet. That's why Jesus stood right here and he said, I know why you don't believe me, because you put them in the grave. You're polishing Isaiah's tomb, and you're the one that put him in there. What a bunch of hypocrites. So here we go. We go through time, and we see that there was prophets all down through the ages. And there were seven church ages in the Old Testament, seven church ages in the New Testament. But remember, the Old Testament was continued all the way down to here, all the way down to Pentecost. So you got the Old Testament. Paradise was emptied out when Jesus went and preached to the souls in hell. But you know what happened? He left them down here. They didn't come out with him. If you were down here, those who turned God down, in other words, those who turned the atonement down, who turned down the word of God for their time. All right? So they stayed down here. Jesus preached to the ones who turned God down, and they're going to be there until the white throne judgment. They're going to be dead for a long time. So paradise was right here, and then when Jesus died, he came down here. He didn't empty none of this out. He testified to them, come back up here, picked up paradise, took it up. Man, I like that. Can you move it with my finger? And then the sixth dimension begins, and that's what we've been talking about. That's where the born-again believer, this is where Brother Branham went into this sixth dimension, where the first martyr was who? Stephen. Stephen was the first martyr, and then all the ones that died after that, they're in that sixth dimension. But now you and I are still right here. We're still in time. But we believe that this man came, the birth of Jesus, according to Luke 2:7. But I want you to see something about that man. Remember, Jesus Christ never had any children. Physical children. But he could. He was a man. He was ever with man. But he was ever with God. All right, so let's listen. Leave that up if you don't mind. Isaiah 7 verse 14 says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Matthew 1 verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And I love Brother Branham uses that example. He talks about people saying, well, who, you know, give me your Trinitarian idea. Well, you got a Father and a Son and the Holy Ghost. And you say, well, now, wait a minute, who's Jesus' Father? Well, Jesus' Father was the Father, dummy. Well, Brother Branham reads him this scripture right here, and he says, now the Bible says that the Holy Ghost was his daddy. Right here it says, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Folks, that was Almighty God. I know we believe that. But he was the very essence of God. He's the very, for 3.5 years. See, we only got a 3.5 year impact from this man. Sure, he showed up at 13 years old, and he showed up at 9, or he showed up at a little child somewhere. But his message is what even all of Christendom, even all of the world that is part of Christianity, believes that man somehow, some way, either being the second person of the Trinity or being Almighty God himself, but that person had to come and die for us. But now, listen, if he came as a second person, then he told us that he was going to send a comforter back. And he's going to be sent in his name. It is confusing to the scholars, I'm sure. But if you'll just take what God said, he said right there, he said, I'm going to send a baby that's going to be born a virgin, and he's going to be Emmanuel, God with us. If he created his own body, the egg, and if he created his own blood, the germ, sperm, and he put it in the womb of Mary, you see, this plan cannot ever fail. Sometimes we may scratch our head about something that we do, but God's not scratching his head. He wrote ever how many hundreds of times in the Old Testament how he was going to come. And then when he actually came, they called him everything but Almighty God. And he said, show me where I didn't come the way that the prophets told me. And that's basically what they said. They said, well, we have Moses. We have Abraham. Who are you? Well, let's read in Isaiah 53. Let's see what this guy did for us. This commoner, this man that spoke a common language, this man that was an outcast to the regular world. Let's go ahead and pull that up, if you don't mind, brothers. Isaiah 53. I preached a sermon years ago on who shall declare his generation. So let's look at that and see. Because remember, this man, Jesus. See, that's what the Pharisees, they were looking at a man that had never been married. And he's sitting there declaring that he's going to have a church. He's going to have a people. He's going to have a bride. He's going to have a group that's going to emanate from him, that's going to come forth from him. And they're like, you don't even have a wife. They just didn't know he was creating his own wife. Isn't the bride a wife? He was creating his own wife. It was just the secret coming. It wasn't something that man's going to look at, because watch this right here. Who hath believed our report? See, they did not. And to whom is the arm or the strength of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. He's talking about Jesus Christ. And as a root. Now this is Isaiah, the one they killed when he was a little boy because they thought he was crazy. And as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness. He didn't get up and do his hair every day. May not have took a bath every day. He was a common man. But he was Almighty God. You say, what does God look like? Prophet told us that's as close as we're going to get at the moment. Amen. Listen to this. Because see, there's two things that Jesus did. This man Jesus, number one, he came in human flesh to be our brother. To be our Boaz. But remember, in the story of Boaz, there's a person in between all that. And that's the devil, or that other kinsman that's closer, that was closer than Boaz. So even God, I hate to say this, but it's the only way I can term it, is God had to bow himself down into human flesh and let the devil beat on him. Because he looked 50 years old and he was only 33 years old. But listen to this. But there was two things that this man did, because he had a body and he had a soul. Everybody got that? Then we'll close with only 8:19. He had a body and he had a soul. But now he couldn't give his body a ransom. It was human. That body can't come back on me and you. We're his body. But the literal body can't come back on me or you. But it can do one thing. It can do this right here. Listen to this. We shall see him. There's no beauty that we should desire him. In other words, he'd fit in a crowd and you'd never know who he was. He is despised and rejected of men. That proved that. Now, who rejected him and despised him the most? The religious people of the world. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it was our face from him, and he was despised. And we, Isaiah says, we esteemed him not. In other words, the world said, no, this is not who this is. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. When he was hanging on the cross, it didn't look like he was very much. But listen to this. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised. See, there's the body. The body had to come to be the sacrifice. Because the lamb, the flesh of the lamb had to be thrown up on the altar. Amen? It had to be killed. But remember, it had a life in it, but that life couldn't come back on the believer. And even the killing of that animal couldn't heal you. No. But watch this. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes. we are healed. That body that looked like hamburger meat, he took on everything you and I took on. All we like sheep have gone astray. In other words, they scattered at Calvary. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted. Boy, it sounded like he's having a good time on earth. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Remember when they took him into Pilate's hall? They were trying to get him to say something, to disprove all this rumor, but he knew what he had to do. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? He died without having kids. See, I have kids. I have a generation. You have kids. You have a generation. You're part of a generation. Backwards, going back the other way. You're part of a generation. He was not. But he came for a purpose. Who shall declare his generation? So the Bible's declaring he has a generation. But who's going to declare his generation? Because I'll promise you, folks, listen, when they took Jesus and took him and put him on the cross, except for the 11, everybody else just went back to doing what they've been doing. He was just a part of, like the portrayal in one of the movies is they just took the two thieves after they died, and there was a place behind Golgotha, and just a ditch, and they just throwed them over in the ditch. But they didn't throw Jesus in the ditch because Joseph of Arimathea took his body and put him in a tomb like the Bible said he was supposed to do. But to everybody else, they just forgot about him. Never to remember him again. Caiaphas and them was like, man, I'm glad we got rid of that guy. Now it'll be quiet around here. All the different religious people, but when they walked back in that temple and they looked up and they saw the Holy of Holies, they had to turn their head. And they had to walk backwards and sew that thing back up because God had rent that temple apart. Or the curtain apart. Why? Testifying who this man was. But he was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now watch verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. He was cut off in the three dimensions that we live in. He was cut off. There was no way he could have progeny or a generation because he did not have children. They did not come forth from the loins of Jesus Christ. Everybody got that? He had no children in the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Now remember, the body was a sacrifice. The sacrificial lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The body took the stripes. So did Paul. So did different ones. Here comes the whole deal. Right here. Listen. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, then he'll see his progeny. He shall see his seed. Because remember, he was the sower of the seed. He was the Son of Man, but it was not sown by the loins of man. That's why this thing is secret. Nobody can understand, except a true believer, how this man was cut off among the land of the living. He did not have any children. In other words, he just wasted away somewhere. They think now, they think back then they took the body and threw it out in the desert, and then they took the body and they eat it. That was one story. Or the disciples stole it and put it wherever. Yeah. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the what? Travail of his soul. Right. Listen, that man hanging on Calvary did not die. He gave his life up. Amen. Into thy hands I commend my soul, my spirit, so the body could die. He was in complete control. There's nobody could hang for 3 hours and took what he took. Because he, what? That soul was Almighty God. And that body had to hang there for me and you as a sacrifice. But the soul is what cleanses me and you, folks. If he hadn't went to hell, if he hadn't went to paradise, if he hadn't come back on the day of Pentecost, then it was for nothing. He shall see the travail of his soul. John 17, Brother Brown said, now John 17 was written right at the moment they were leaving the upper room going into the garden. Everybody understand that? If you didn't know that, you know it now. He prayed that prayer, but when he got into Gethsemane, he was praying for himself. That this cup would pass from me. And all Brother Brown said, there's where he fought it out. Not at Calvary. He fought it out in the garden. He just went to Calvary to show that he was Almighty God and had complete control of everything. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. But he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil. Romans 8, verse 14 through 16, heirs and joint heirs with Christ. He went to Calvary so you don't have to. He died so you don't have to. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He didn't die. He poured out his soul unto death. Brother Brown said, played the part of death. And he was numbered with the transgressors. Why? He was there with the two thieves. And he bare the sin of many and made intercession. You see, the lamb, regular lambs and goats and bulls, could not make intercession. They couldn't make personal intercession. But Jesus Christ makes personal intercession. He's the one that intercedes for me and you. He's the one that, he's the kingpin of the whole thing. If he hadn't have come and died and gave his soul a ransom, that soul's what went to hell and paid your price, not the body. The body was there, though, for your healing. Musicians, come. The body was there for your healing. He took those stripes for me and you. Looked like hamburger meat, the prophet of God said. But that soul was what was going to save you. Listen, we're not saved by the blood of God. We're kept saved by the blood of God. We're saved by the life that was in that blood. Let's stand to our feet. That life that was in that blood is what proved. Because that body just laid there, Brother Ram said, the word, the body, laid there in a tomb, dead and cold. But where was his soul? Where was his soul? His soul was working for me and you. His soul was getting us out of the prison house. His soul was coming back on the day of Pentecost or resurrecting. And then coming back on the day of Pentecost, he said, I'm not going to send a third person. He said, I'm coming back. And I'm going to take you out of here. Glory. Amen? Right. You love the Lord? Amen. You got to love what Jesus did for you. Because that same one that said, let there be light, is that same man that went to hell. You see all that Brother Brown said. I read you the many quotes where Brother Brown said, Jesus went down and knocked on the door. Opened the door in paradise, and Abraham said, there's a man we fed the calf to. Isaiah said, oh, that's the man I talked about. That's the virgin. Amen. Jeremiah, Ezekiel said, oh, that's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. They knew him in his revelation. But listen, it was a man standing there. It was King Theophany, the man that could give you eternal life and not just keep it all for himself. Let's sing a song. God bless you.
Number three, they come. Amen.
But who shall declare his generation?
They come
I will.
From the east
who shall declare his generation?
Lands.
You will.
They come from the lands of
the far to feast with our King, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face, a glow. As gems in his crown to shine.
Since Jesus has set me free.
Has he set you free tonight?
I'm happy.
If he has not, don't leave this place.
No longer I bear.
I don't care if you've been in this message and sitting in these pews for 50 years. You need to know that you've got that same guy that I've been talking about. The only way that this generation can be declared is that you declare it. Now, He's here to heal you, but he's also here to save you. Sing it to him.
I look on the
white throne
before
the ransom stand. The whole Bible is talking about me and you guys. It's talking about his bride, the bride down in all the church ages. But this is a bride to take it all and put it into use. Everything that God has given us. The only one that can understand the full revelation of what's going on. The only one that can fulfill the plan, the part of the plan. Somebody's going to fulfill it. You got to decide whether you want to or not. Since Jesus has set me free, you love him tonight. I'm happy as heart can be. No longer, don't carry those burdens, folks, please don't. Yoke is so sweet to me. My soul was as black as night. Boy, that's all of us. But darkness has taken flight. Now I shout the victory, for Jesus has set me free. Stands open by night and day.
Well, we don't have to chase down a Holy of Holies anymore. Israel's trying to find a Holy of Holies. They just don't know the bride has the real one. You and I have the real Holy of Holies. But they're looking for a box that God's already left that box. But oh, he'll go back to them. But he won't go back to him as a box. He'll go back and say, you missed me. You're the one that put me on the cross. But I had to blind your eyes so I could get a Gentile bride. And we're already gone by then. All of our troubles are over. Sing it to him. Black as night, but darkness has taken flight. Now I shout the victory, for Jesus has... Let's sing that chorus again. Since Jesus has set me free. Just remember what we're going to do Sunday. Just be here at 9:45. Go to your Sunday school classes. We'll have our service up here, and we'll see how that works. If it doesn't work, then we'll try something else. But we're going to try to get all this together. Thank you for your patience. And if you have anything else you want to put in then to make it better, then we don't know everything. But we love you with the love of the Lord. We want you to bind together. Listen, we sometimes talk hard and we say things, but we love you with the love of the Lord. And I don't want us to fall backwards. I want us to go forward. Now we're going to backslide. We backslide every day. Okay? But I want us to be in prayer for the services when they come up. I want us to be in prayer for even our normal regular services that come in. You pray for the pastor. You pray for the people that teach you the word of God, your teachers, and even the little ones that Sister Rachel and some of them, you know, it's trying with younger people to get their attention, you know, but the Bible says raise them up according to the word of the Lord. And oh, they may do like me and just, you know, go out in the world. But the Bible says when they're older, they'll return. Why? Because you give them a foundation. That's why I appreciate our Sunday school teachers. I appreciate the ones that do that because it's a foundation. Amen. It's a foundation. Even the preaching of the gospel, as some, we have foundations, and then we have, listen, we can't all be foundation builders. You'd never have a house. You have to call an electrician in, you have to call a plumber in, you have to call the roofer in, you have to call all these different ones. Well, that's the same way with the fivefold ministry. You got these different offices that Brother Dale's been preaching about to put the house together. Because listen, folks, God's going to have a mature bride. You can sit there, just like Brother Brown said, you can sit there tonight all night long and say, the sun's not coming up in the morning. The sun's not coming up in the morning, and it's going to just shine so bright in the morning. Because God's already said that's what's going to happen. So there's going to be a bride. There's going to be a mature bride. You got to decide whether you want to be it or not. You got to decide whether you want to put forth the effort and look at Calvary first and foremost above everything. Look what that man did for us. And then, as we were talking about in Brother Ray's funeral, that's where you got to start at. But then as you start there, you're going to come to a place that Malachi 4 is going to mean something to you. Because God sends you Elijah the prophet with the spirit of Jesus Christ, of that same one that says, believe on the Lord and thou shalt be saved. That same Jesus is going to direct you to the true word of God. He can't direct you to something false. Man actually overrides Jesus talking to him to take a Trinitarian doctrine, because Jesus never come to nobody and said, you need to be baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He never said, now, you need to make sure you remember there's three of us up here. No. But see, somewhere in that communication, the devil has took over. And that's what we're wanting to get rid of, is that gap of communication. That's why the fivefold ministry, that's why good deacons and elders and different ones, they're bridging that gap to where you don't have to believe all, you believe all this, you don't believe all the other stuff. Amen. Young kids, we're praying for you. Keep that shield up. Amen. Because the devil wants you. The devil don't want you more than God does, but you got to want God more than the devil wants you. Amen. Because you got to make the choice. You're the one making that choice. You're the one in election. You vote for Jesus or you vote for the devil. Pretty simple. So God bless you. Love you with the love of the Lord. Let's bow our heads and dismiss. Come back together Sunday. Remember, 9:45 will be all Sunday school classes. Just go where you're supposed to go. And then we'll have one here after we, Brother Terrence does the prayer request. Then I'll come up and have a little Sunday school teaching, and then we'll start into the service. So God bless you. Pray that it won't hinder. Pray that it'll work. Pray that it'll work for the glory of the Lord. So let's bow our heads. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the word that you've given us tonight, Lord. We pray that you'd just sanctify each one of us for this journey. And Lord, I truly pray that there won't be any gas shortage for your bride. Lord, that we'll find gas to go do our work or come to church and do the things. Lord, we got to start depending on you, not depending on man. We've got, and you're doing these little things. I believe you're allowing these things to happen so that you'll see, that we'll see what we're depending on is man or you, Lord. Let us depend on you, Father. Whether it be from the local guy that just gives you gas, that doesn't matter, Lord. Any way that we can come together and assemble, you told us that if we assemble together where two or three are gathered in your name, that there you'll be in the midst. Father, just be with us Sunday, Lord, as we come together and we try this, this different part that we're going to try, Lord. May you be the active one that does it, Lord. And then you'll get all the praise and honor and glory for it. Father, forgive us of our sins. Bless the ones that are sick. Thank you for the ones that are watching in, listening in, Lord. We pray that you touch their heart. And bless, Lord, each one of us as we go to work tomorrow and do the different things, Lord, that we have to do, that you will be the center, and that we'll look to Calvary and know that you gave your soul, not just your body. You gave your soul a ransom so that you could buy us back. Father, we thank you for that. Thank you for that grace that you give us, Lord. Just bless us now and take care of us in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Lord.